If I Die Tonight is the latest standalone novel from Edgar nominee Alison Galen. Galen, a USA Today bestselling author, is known for her well-drawn characters and emotionally driven psychological suspense. If I Die Tonight highlights dynamic characters, family drama, and absorbing plot twists. After a high school outcast falls under suspicion for the murder of another student, Galen taps into the fears of a small-town community and a parent's worst nightmares. Again, the name of the book is If I Die Tonight, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Alison Galen to our studios this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, great pleasure to have you here. So what brought you down this road?
Well, there are a couple of things, actually, that brought me down this road. One of them, I like to say I always like to write about things that scare me the most. And this is my scariest book because it's about raising teenagers.
Right.
I have a teenage daughter. I live in the Hudson Valley. It's very loosely based on a case of a hit and run that happened in Rhinebeck a couple of years ago. And the thing that fascinated me about it is the way the story sort of got spun, largely by the kids, but by everybody through the use of social media, and how it sort of took on this life of its own and became kind of fictionalized in a way, larger than life. And I wanted to sort of write a story like that, taking place in my area. This is the first book that I've ever written that takes place in the Hudson Valley, which is where I live.
What brought you to that decision of saying it's Havenkill? Is that how it's pronounced?
Yes.
Your fictional town?
Yes.
Now, so what brought you to that of saying, oh, I think I would like to write where I live?
Well, this area has long fascinated me, where I live, because it's just only about, 2 hours away from New York City. And yet it's got this real kind of small town feel, and also this historic feel. And there's so much charm in the area, but so much of a capacity for things lurking under the surface. It's just such a rich area to explore as far as storytelling goes. There's a kind of a Sleepy Hollow feel to a lot of the Hudson Valley, historic Hudson Valley towns. And I really have long wanted to explore that, but I was looking for the right story. And now I think I finally found the right one.
There are a lot of viewpoints in this novel. You take us all over the place of giving us different points of view, from everyone from the suspect's mother to the younger brother to a pop star to a police officer. It's all covered here.
Yes.
Why take that approach?
Well, I think the interesting thing about a story like this is how different viewpoints affect the perception of the actual case. The boy who is accused of the crime, his point of view comes up, but only at the very end of the book. And the interesting thing to me would be how different people would approach it, and how different people would see it, and how subjective we all are in the way we view things. So approaching it from different points of view, I found that the most suspenseful way to tell the story, but also the way in which I might, I don't want to say sort of trick the reader, but it's the most mysterious way to tell the story as well.
You know, we were talking about how it gets fictionalized in that story over time because of social media and so forth. There is a reader's guide in the book for, I assume, book groups and so forth. And one of the discussion points is fake news.
Yes.
Well, aren't we talking about that? So how does that fit into the greater picture of how something that is tragic, it is in our hometown, and we all know the people involved pretty much, and yet we can sort of weave our own narrative.
Yes. Social media is definitely a point of view within the book, and I like to view it as another unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
As it is in much of our lives, really. The effect that social media has had on our society in general has been something that I really wanted to explore. There is a kind of a dual thing that happens with social media, which is how this sort of fake news thing kind of gets started. One is that you can take any rumor, any little thing that you want to say, and you write it down, and somebody else reads it online, and it just picks up speed, and it's like somebody wrote it down, and so therefore it's true. And it, this kind of spin happens with it. Also, it kind of numbs our empathy, because you're looking at the screen at people posting on social media, And it has a kind of a two-dimensional quality. The very first chapter in the book, for instance, is a Facebook post.
Right.
And it's a suicide note. And it has something like 1,900 likes on it. That was really conscious on my part, because who likes a suicide note? And yet it's happened in real life. One of the things that kind of inspired me to write the book was when Sinead O'Connor posted her suicide note. There were something like 2,500 likes on it. You know, who does that? Who likes a suicide note? Who feels that sort of removed and has that amount of empathy taken away? And it's becoming a lot more common as the result of social media, I think.
And you don't know what it means sometimes, because sometimes somebody can post something about, oh, my father died this weekend, and people will like that. And well, obviously you don't like the fact that the person's father passed, but mm-hmm. I don't know. You don't have a I'm sorry. I mean, I guess there are the emoticons and so forth, but it's pretty much like or not like, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You have a line in here that I circled when I was reading the book. Jackie had lost 50 friends on Facebook, an odd thing to be thinking about while coming out of a panic attack. But we care about this stuff, don't we? Why do we care about it?
It's so weird. Isn't it hard? Do you ever think about your life before social media? It wasn't that long ago, really.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird. Is it weird for you as a writer? Is it weird for you to sort of figure that into the storytelling as well as just the day-to-day processes of being an author?
Yes, definitely. It's strange. It completely changes the way you tell a story. It's a wonderful tool to be able to use in suspense, I think. A lot of other, mystery or suspense writers talk about how, our modern age of technology makes it harder to tell stories, harder to tell mystery stories. I don't really think so. I mean, I think you can really up the sense of paranoia through the use of social media, in a book.
And what your story lays out is just how easy things can go awry, right? I mean,
yes.
There's no really fantastic leap here. You can just see this happening. Of how things go horribly wrong.
Yes, exactly. And you feel powerless to stop it in a way. I mean, there's one of the points of view is the mother of this boy that's accused of committing this crime. And that, to me, her viewpoint was the hardest to write because I found it the scariest, because you want to, you know what you know about your own child and your own family. And yet this story is getting spun out of control by all of these people that have never even met you. And what do you do? How do you react?
So when you go out, and I know you're just coming off tour now, but what do people want to talk to you about in regards to this story?
A lot of people want to talk to me about social media in general. And a lot of people, I mean, I think I've struck a chord with a lot of parents, and they all want to talk to me about how, I always look at my child's social media all the time, or I always keep a close eye on everything. And your book showed me that I'm doing the right thing by doing that. And, that's all good. But, I do let them know, your kids, they find a way to get around you.
Right. There's a lot more happening than you know.
Yes.
And by the way, remember when you were that age.
Yes, exactly. As long as there have been teenagers, there have been teenagers with secrets.
Yes.
And it is the most natural part of growing up in the world, and it's also the most terrifying part of in the world of raising someone who's growing up. So it's just something you have to get used to. And for all we try to spy and for all we try to know, they find ways to get around us, and we just have to trust them.
The other thing that struck me about the novel is just how an event like this can alter an entire town and a community. I mean, the impact that it has on any place, but especially a small town.
Yes, absolutely. They all know each other. The boy who is the victim in this crime in the book is a hero on campus. There's a growing shrine that grows throughout the book, people leaving things, and it grows to kind of monstrous proportions on this street corner. We all want our heroes and our villains. And I think in small towns like this, where everyone knows each other, these types of mythologies can develop very quickly if there's a terrible event like this.
The name of the book is If I Die Tonight. It is published by Morrow Allison Galen, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Congratulations on the beautiful book, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great pleasure. Again, the name of the novel is If I Die Tonight. Allison Galen is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.